Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Clint Sterner's Football at 4.
Deion Sanders.
Hold on. I need to take this. Me and Tyler need to start this off real quick. Yesterday, in your absence, we put our heads together.
Okay.
And I feel like you've been placed into a box. And I think with the title of the segment, you've been put into a box.
Okay.
I think we need to take the football portion out of it. And the people came up with a bunch of different names for the segment. Yesterday.
Okay.
It got away from us for about 7 minutes.
Hey, I like it. I'm here for it, man. Where are we going? Let's ride.
Well, there were a lot, and people are still sending them in right now as soon as the segment started. Here we are, Sterner's 4
o'clock. I'm here. Hell, Deion ain't that important. This one's got shelf life anyway, boys.
Well, we can get to it. 4 o'clock foolery, but I'm just saying, first off, we said we would bring it. Oh, we had a lot of them.
Did Sterner, they say foolery or did they say the other F word?
No, they said foolery. I think Brandon's favorite was Sterner's Burners. What we said was, listen, I feel like I see you in prep sometimes. I feel like you feel forced to have to put football in sometimes because it is called Clint Sterner's Football at 4.
Yep.
And you don't want to. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. We feel like you're being put in a box and you shouldn't be. And I think we should take the football part of it out. Do you remember some of the – I remember Brandon liked Sterner's Burners.
Yeah, I remember the
boss tried to push it to 4:30 to make it Dirty's 30.
Yeah.
I don't know. But Stern's stance at 4. I mean, we've had a lot rolled.
I don't like stance.
I'm going to say, what'd you say? We had about 150, 200
rolled. That many entries, huh?
Yeah.
Well, it really continued through the final 2 hours of the show. It was really hard at this point, and then people continued to send them in throughout the show.
Sterner's top 4 at 4.
Yeah, yeah. But then again, with that one, we'd be putting you in a box again that you'd have to come up with 4. So I don't know. I don't know about that one. Stern talk at 4. What's thrown out there?
Stern talk. I've used Stern talk a
Clint's
lot.
Clint's corner. Someone text in. That was.
I recommended Sterner's whores at 4.
Yeah, and we're not doing that again. Not.
Why?
Hey, I'm married with daughters, bro.
Whore.
You mind?
Well, obviously we would never call
But whenever we start getting segments.
I'd prefer not to talk to mine.
Or if we try to get segments sponsored. Here, guys, we got one for you. Listen, we want you to come and sponsor this hour, and we'd like for you to jump in and sponsor.
I mean, there's some
Sterner's
novelty stores.
At 4.
There's some 24-hour novelty stores out there.
We'll jump right on it then. Sterner's whores at 4.
I
want you to get into Deion, but we were thinking.
It don't have to be.
Oh yeah, like red hot takes. That was a good one.
Yeah,
red hots. Yeah,
red hots, like the candy.
And the red.
Yeah,
red.
No. I mean, look, I'm here for it, boys. I'm here for it, man. I'd like to have a blank
canvas.
Can
paint that sucker however you want.
Yeah, man. No handcuffs, man. No parameters.
This last person, you're nasty as hell.
What is it?
I'm not saying it.
I'll say it. What is it?
No, I don't want you to say it either.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's not even good though.
I mean, it's not bad. I mean, it's just a little too nasty. A little too nasty.
All right, I mean, so we got to be able to throw their dirty, dirty sound. Like, there's something about dirty in there that, that
yeah. Dirty whores at four.
Someone texted in and said 4 o'clock. I don't know why you have to continue to add whores to it. 4 o'clock foolery is the best many people have heard. There was many more with your last name, your first name. I think we should really kind of continue to roll through. I should have written more of these down.
Well, let me look. Know this. I'm wide open.
The Baytown rundown. I remember that from yesterday.
I'm wide open, man. I'm open to change. Change is good, man. Change is good.
Football part, so you have a blank canvas.
Okay.
And if you want to talk football, you talk it. If you don't, if you want, as we said yesterday, you want to talk about housing things. You want to talk about
little Green Thumb?
Yeah. Clint's Coors Corner, sponsored by Coors.
Hey,
that's too many C's.
Dirty bullets.
I can't get it. Coming up next, Clint's. Coors Corner.
Say that three times real fast. Oh, man. Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm here for it, boys. I'm here for a little change, man.
A little change. It's good. Yeah. Don't put you in a box here. But anyway, you want to talk about Deion.
Dirty
Reds reviews. Go ahead.
There you go.
C-Store at 4.
C-Store at 4.
Saw that one. Yeah.
Come on, man. Come on through, man. We had all kind of deals. Got hot deals. It's red tag deals being made over here.
Red tag.
Red tag.
Dirty red tag deals at 4. What I'd suggest was let's just say exactly what it is that happens no matter how long it is.
I don't get
coming up. Clint talks about whatever he wants to at 4. Like that be the title. Clint talks about whatever he wants.
The new name for 4 and Deion at 4.
Yeah,
next.
Clint talks about whatever he wants to talk about at 4, and then that be the long title of it.
The long title of it.
Or this someone says Dirty Deeds at 4. All right, go ahead.
Just give me a little time to think about that, and I'll be on that one.
I knew you would.
Yeah, Prime. I mean, look. I like Prime. I'm on board with the majority of what Prime's done as a head coach and what he's doing as a head coach, and I believe in Prime. I love the message that he sends to his players and to players in general and to the youth in general. But I think Prime may be a little bit over his skis on this one. As you know, he's got two guys that will be draft eligible next year. He's got multiple guys that will be draft eligible next year, but he's got two of them. One of them, which is his son, Shador Sanders, is a quarterback. And Travis Hunter is a corner receiver he was the number one player coming out 2 years ago, went to Jackson State with Prime, and then he and several players transferred from Jackson State to Colorado with Prime and are there now. And here's what, you know, it's obviously draft season. Deion Sanders has written a book. He's touring. He's signing his books, and he's making all the stops through all the different media outlets. And of course, during draft season, you know, these kind of conversations come up about your players, and particularly about your son. And I think Shador Sanders is actually on record having some comments about where he would get drafted if he could come out this year. Yada yada yada. Well, here's Deion Sanders talking about Travis Hunter and his son Shador Sanders as it pertains to the draft next year.
Where do you predict Shador and Travis going in the draft?
Top 4.
Ooh, that's pretty beautiful.
Anywhere from 1 through 4. One of them is going to be 1.
Mm. That's what I'm talking about.
One of them is going to be
speaking into existence.
And the latter one would not go behind 4. Mm. Now, all this is subjective because I know where I want them to go. Mm-hmm. And let's not forget Shallow, okay? Mm-hmm. But I know where I want them to go. So there's certain cities that ain't gonna happen.
It's gonna okay, you on man. Point?
It's gonna be a. It's not. A, I'm sorry. It's gonna be an Eli.
And if you remember correctly, everybody out there listening, Eli Manning was drafted by the Chargers,
number one pick,
number one overall pick.
That's one to really kind of run home there. Number one pick,
number one overall pick, drafted by the Chargers. Eli and his daddy said we ain't. Ultimately, I'm paraphrasing here. Said we ain't playing for you. So the Chargers traded Eli Manning to the New York Giants, and in return, they ended up getting, I believe, the following year, they picked Phillip Rivers, and I don't remember what the draft capital was, but the point is a player's drafted by a team, they say, nope, we're not going to play here, so that team then has to either keep your rights, not play you, or trade you, and it becomes a mess. And I'm going to be honest, I think Travis Hunter is a legit top number one or number two cornerback coming out. And I only say number two because he's the only one I can think of off the top of my head, underclassman, that I can just recall off jump that I believe is a legit top five draft pick corner in the NFL. And I've seen enough from him to believe that. I mean, the number of snaps, I remember there's two different games. One, the TCU game in Fort Worth to start the season when they upset TCU coming off of a run to a national championship game. I mean, the kid played 70-some-odd snaps.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, he's just everything about Travis Hunter, in my opinion, screams the best corner to come out, a top five pick. I think Deion Sanders is speaking a lot of from a dad perspective when he's talking about Shedeur Sanders. As you heard, he mentioned Shiloh Sanders, his other son, who's nowhere near a first-round pick. But Shedeur Sanders, while I think he's really good, he's got a long way to go before he is a number one pick that ultimately can choose where he's going to go to school. I mean, not where he's going to go to school, where he's going to play pro ball. Like I think Deion needs to pump the brakes just a little bit. Like Shedeur has a lot of work to do for him to be the top rated quarterback coming out, for him to be a top 10 NFL draft pick. I like Shedeur Sanders. I like what I've seen from him. But there's a lot of work to be done for this guy to be a top five pick. I mean, for them to be parading around talking about if he came out this year, he'd be the second quarterback off the board, and boy, he's gonna be a top four pick next year. I don't know, Ron. I've watched a lot of I was very interested in what Colorado was doing. As I said, I'm a fan. I watched a lot of Colorado football last year. And Shedeur's got work to do.
Maybe. Listen, and I know he was really getting a lot of praise early in last season when that got started. J.J. McCarthy is potentially going to go in the top five by some people. And Shedeur has shown, to me at least, more.
Agreed.
More than a guy like that. I just, like, from the whole standpoint, so I think there is a chance that Shedeur could be a top 10 pick in the draft. But to be able to control, you know, where a player is going to go, like, you got to have that power of what Eli had, and that was to be the number one pick. And that's the power that John Elway had. Or at least some other option to go play Kyler, to go play baseball or something, to do something else if you intend to do that. And it's going to be hard to be able, if you're in the 4-7 range or the 10 or whatever, to do that.
And your organization has to have another organization be interested in playing ball, right? I mean, it's like you just got to assume another quarterback needy team isn't going to be okay with taking Michael Penix Jr. or taking somebody later on in the draft or next year. You got to have somebody that wants to play ball and wants Shedeur as bad enough to jump on that bait. So,
and I also believe at some point, like, hey, Shedeur going to be like, hey, pops, hey, listen, I'm not thrilled to have to go to, what's a team that you would think's probably trying to hold them off from? I'm not.
I would imagine there's several of them, and there's. I mean, I don't know who's going to take quarterbacks this year and who's not. But
Saints. Let's say it's New Orleans. I'm not thrilled. I don't know how you would be, but like just for example, a team like the Saints. I'm not thrilled to go to the Saints. But I mean, pops, what are we going to do here?
Yeah.
Like at some point, those kids are going to, and like Travis Hunter. At some point, those kids are going to have to take control of what it is that they're doing at some point.
Well, that's the other thing is, like, this is a dangerous game to play because it could very easily backfire. Just because it didn't happen to backfire on Eli doesn't mean it's not going to backfire on the next guy. My follow-up was going to be, but, you know, J.J. McCarthy's being talked about as a top 10 pick. I mean, hell, you look at old buddy that just got traded out of Pittsburgh was a first-round draft pick. I mean, there are a lot of dudes that do not bring anywhere close to what Shedeur brings to the table physically that is being talked about as a top 10.
But none of those guys were in no kind of position to control or to tell teams like,
right.
You know what, I ain't going to go to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. I just it's hard for me, and I know we're at a point where obviously teams are looking at this thing differently, but it's hard for me to even take people serious with the J.J. McCarthy thing. And he may end up being a great pro. But we're talking about NFL prospects. We're talking about dudes that have have a resume, one, to justify taking them that early, that have a tangible skill set to justify taking them that early. I don't know that we've ever seen a quarterback that literally is getting ran up the draft boards to the tune of being the second quarterback off the board potentially based off of, well, he's a good game manager.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we have seen that guy. I mean, and I'm not talking about what somebody thinks. There's just no, I mean, when you look at his size, when you look at his arm strength, when you look at the resume, there's nothing about the kid at this point in time today that says he's a top five pick, other than Jim Harbaugh said he's going to be a better pro than he was a college guy. Other than he won 20, like he did what, he's Greg McElroy. Now I think he's got a better arm than Greg, and I think he's a little bit more athletic than Greg. But I mean, he's Greg McElroy. I mean, he reminds me of the Alabama years where Alabama quarterbacks were coming up and none of them were early first round picks because they were always playing with plus players across the board. I don't know, man. I think Shador's got a real chance. I like him. I've yet to watch Shador Sanders. I've yet to watch Shador Sanders and go, that skill right there is number one overall.
Yeah, you remember he's got that connection with Brady. Like, he talks to Brady.
Oh, yeah, he talks to Brady, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that would help a lot if you're seventh-round pick and you want to – if you're Brock Purdy, that may help you a little bit. We'll see how it goes. But nonetheless, by the way, before we get out of here, have you been the nickname that I mentioned? This Avila kid that plays with Indiana State?
Yeah, the Sycamores.
Come on, man. We can have the Larry.
Have you seen him?
We can have the Larry nerd. I've seen him. And I get
Tyler, you got to take a look at him.
Tyler hadn't seen him?
I don't know. I don't know what Sean.
Oh, he's got black rim goggles on, playing big boy, shoots threes.
Yes. Yeah, I've seen him.
And he's got several nicknames that they run on the list. And half of them you can just throw out. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah, well, Kareem.
Kareem. I mean, one. That is good. That is good. The white boy aspect of Kareem, the tie to the Kareem instead of Kareem, the goggle. I mean, the whole thing, that is good, man.
Levitard had him on, just talked to him about that name.
That
the
is good,
didn't
man.
Didn't ask about his game, nothing else.
That is good. Kareem. And I haven't researched the guy yet, but it sure seems like he's really, really cool in that in those moments. Like, he's owning it all.
That's what the whites
and having fun with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Kareem.
What a nickname.
I like it. Because the goggles, everything about him. Oh. Right? Yeah. He had a little game. He had a little bit of game.
He's got him. What are they? They in the Final Four of the NIT? Is that what they're in right now?
Yeah. I don't watch the non-invited tournament, but I knew they almost made the big tournament. They were the best team in the Missouri Valley all year.
Let me get this right. A guy that sits around the house and plays with himself on Selection Sunday doesn't like the NIT, like just is too good for the NIT?
I don't watch the NIT, and I don't play with myself on Selection.
Yes, you do.
I do not. I enjoy it.
You told me in the break. When you were younger, you did it during the commercials.
No, I rep pink eye, but I did not touch myself.
Rub the hell out of that eye, though.
The March Madness breakdown portion that comes up later.
He rubbed one out in the break.
The 12 o'clock later March Madness breakdown, when they go by region, now that is something else. But not the Selection Sunday.
Not what you told me to break.
Coming up, I've had a few people tell me something about the Astros dropping the ball or something. We got to discuss this. I think it's a little overboard. We'll do that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back again. If you missed it, I see you on YouTube and Twitch. Hear you and see you texting in on the text line. Those of you listening, however you're listening, we appreciate you joining us. But tomorrow we are at Tom's Watch Bar, opening day. Not just us, starting at 10 o'clock. In the Loop will be there as well. And you can go and start a little pregame action within the Loop, and then you can come hang out with us as if you don't have tickets to the game, we'll be there. You can come kick it with us a little bit. We'll be there from 2 to 6. You can watch the game. TV's all over the place. Great staff, great food. The salmon, amazing. I think the wings are good from the last time I've heard from people. They said the drinks are good. It's a great, great spot. TV's all over the place. So come hang out with us tomorrow as we get ready for the Astros quest to get back in the championship circle. To get back to
seven f-ing times.
That's right, to another ALCS and winning a championship. Shout out to UJV. for that moment. I've had about four people since this happened yesterday, fellas. I don't know that I agree with this. I've had four people hit me up and tell me they feel like the Astros dropped the ball by not bringing in Jordan Montgomery. Like they dropped the ball there by not going after Jordan Montgomery. Jordan Montgomery, pending physical, is going to be an Arizona Diamondback, 1 year, $25 million. I understand it. And I can understand maybe what they're thinking, what Dana Brown, what Joe Espada, what I think they're trying to have to convince Crane. I think Crane would have signed him off. I'll be honest with you. He's not afraid to pull the trigger, but I bet he just said, we can figure out the Blake Snell thing. I bet he did. But I could understand the thought of, hey, let's this thing play out a bit. Let's hopefully get our guy like Verlander healthy again. Let's see if those three in the middle of the rotation of Framber, Javier, Hunter Brown, let's see how they get going the first half of the year. And let's do that before we make this decision on Jordan Montgomery. Because all else fails, we do know this, Clint. If they have an issue somewhere, they will solve or at least throw a resource at that issue before the trade deadline. Like, we know that. We know if it becomes a problem, they'll go get Justin Verlander, like they've done twice. They'll go get Zach Greinke when they already have Verlander and Gerrit Cole. Like, we know if there is an issue that they have, all else fails, they'll do it. So I can understand the thought of, hey, let's see how these guys pitch. Let's see how they go. And let's see what happens with Lance. Let's see what happens. So I can understand that. And again, we talked about this player. I got a real good feeling, Clint, that Hunter Brown is going to potentially make us say, oh, all right, they got another top of the rotation type start. I am really intrigued to see what he does year two with his stuff. I think they've got a couple of guys there, and he's one that's maybe at the top of the list where I think where they'll be like, all right, he's going to pitch to this level where it even makes us feel more comfortable to hold on with what we have. So I don't think they dropped the ball with the Montgomery thing. I would never fault them for saying, hey, we ain't going to chance it. We're going to go with this dude. I can see the thought of let's kind of see what we have first. And at the very least, we know we'll make a move if we have to at the trade deadline.
Yeah, look, I think for me, it's two things can be true. Like, I think the Astros can overcome the issues that they have. I think the Astros can get by with what they have, even if the guys continue to be inconsistent, that were inconsistent the second half of last year, Javier and Framber. Even if the guys that are injured right now, Lance McCullers and Luis Garcia and Jose Urquidy, continue to be injury-prone guys, I think they're a good enough overall team to overcome it, win a bunch of games, make a run at a World Series. But I think at the very least, it's going to be a lot more difficult than it should be, given those weaknesses or those struggles. And I think signing a guy like Jordan Montgomery, damn sure signing a guy like Blake Snell, I believe would have given you the upper hand in several more games versus you having to overcome some struggles, some serious struggles on the bump because your lineup's so good. Like, I think two things can be true. I'm afraid that they're going to have to make a move.
Because I know your thought is, let's not chance it.
Well, there's just...
Let me sleep at night is what you said.
For me, I don't... Like, I like Framber Valdez. I like Christian Javier. You mentioned Hunter Brown. I, too, am excited about Hunter
really
Brown
so, yeah.
and what he could bring to the table. But I'm not so sure or so excited about... Hell, I like Lance McCullers being a luxury coming back from injury. I like him. You know, I trust J.P. France is going to chew some innings for us at some point in time. I trust that Father Time's not going to completely jump on Verlander's back to where he's not Justin Verlander this year. But at the end of the day, I don't like all of those things so much that I'm just going to pass on opportunities to bring in guys that would stabilize the top of my rotation. If not, lead the damn way with a guy like Blake Snell. So I don't know. I would rather the Astros have made the move, or maybe the move is at the trade deadline, whenever it comes. I would rather them make a move that we've seen them make in the past of like, okay, now all of a sudden you're the favorite. Now all of a sudden you got a you don't only have a surplus of starters if everybody's healthy. You got a top of the rotation that's gonna rival the back end of your bullpen. You know what I mean? Like yeah. that, I would rather them
go ahead and
make those moves. If they indeed could, which you got to believe they could, or they wouldn't have been flirting with Blake Snell.
Yes. I like your approach. I'm just saying I can understand the approach of, I think we got Framber, we got Christian Javier, we got Hunter Brown. Yes, any of those guys could go left like they all did in the second half, but two of the three of them could be Cy Young level pitchers.
Sure, yeah.
And I just want to see, because if all else fails, we'll do what we got to do.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
But I just want to see, and I can understand them waiting on that. All right, it is Wednesday, 4:40 coming up. That means Rockets Report with Brandon Scott. We'll get his thoughts as the big part of this season. They are now a game back. The Warriors won last night. They're a game back of that final play-in seed. They got a big stretch coming up. We'll see his thoughts and how he feels about them potentially making it in the play-in. We'll discuss all of that coming up next right here on The Drive.
We're talking hoops, H-Town. Our guy B. Scott has all the latest from the hardwood in Clutch City.
Ain't nobody in here acting like no bitches.
It's the Rockets Report.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Hey, Houston fans, I am so happy.
All right, welcome back. I thought we had a little open for him. Welcome back.
Just played.
Yeah. We talked through it.
Damn, we talked through that open. We did. Missed that open.
We did.
Damn,
it's a good one, though.
It is. I missed it.
I heard the basketball buzzer. I heard the buzzer go off.
I apologize.
I heard somebody. That. Ain't no bitches around here.
I missed that. I must have had it low. Brandon Scott, little Rockets report action. He's in the building. They're in a big stretch now. This is it. They've kind of played some teams they were supposed to beat, and now they've got some tougher competition here, as they are now one game back. The Warriors win yesterday, so that they were a half game back going into that. When the Warriors win yesterday, they do have a date with them coming up soon. All right, a lot of the conversation has been Jalen Green,
yeah,
and what he has done. That's been really the biggest. You'd say, what's the number one thing that has really sparked this run? It would be Jalen Green.
Yep.
I'm wondering from you, to kind of help the people, what else has occurred that has helped this? Because it's not just Jalen Green. You lose Sengun and you have this happen. You got nine. You win nine in a row and you make this close and make this run, become the hottest team in the NBA. I don't think it's just all Jalen Green. What other things have changed in this stretch that have helped the Rockets outside of Jalen Green?
Well, before I answer that question, I want to point out the urgency of tonight, because you brought it up.
Yeah.
The Warriors, They won last night, okay, but they got the second night of a back-to-back. They beat Miami last night in Miami, but they got the second night of a back-to-back tonight at Orlando.
It's a good team.
A good team starting an hour before the Rockets are hosted by the Oklahoma City Thunder, which is an even better team. Okay, so an hour between each other, you've got the Rockets and Warriors playing different teams respectively with one game separating them. Obviously, the Warriors lose and the Rockets win. You know, we're in a different conversation. You know, you're tied for that spot. So, you know, them being a game behind. So there is an urgency, a double screen NBA type of vibe tonight on monitor. If you got league pass, and even if not, if you just want to monitor the box score, checking out what's going on in that Warriors game against the Magic. And then, of course, an hour later, you get the Rockets game.
So, yeah, I'm just happy the Rockets are giving us and the Rockets fans games that matter and that you care about.
Because that has not been a thing for about three or four years
Let's be honest. Ron made a big, bold statement at the beginning of the year, and it wasn't looking very promising. And now, all of a sudden, he's just excited about meaningful games.
Shut up. I have been on the meaningful – just play meaningful games. Yeah. Because I think these games are big for these young players to learn how to. Because they've had to play. I don't know if they played at a playoff level, but they've had to play at a we're playing for our lives level for the last month.
But it's not like you came out of nowhere with that, or like you just brought it out of nowhere. That was their own stated goal, was to improve drastically from last year, from the previous years, and to be in position to play meaningful games, in a position to make the play-in tournament, if you will. So that was their own goal, and we talked about this. There is no incentivizing of losing anymore. Like, you're not getting those picks just by losing. Yeah. Like, you need other things to happen for you to get, you know, the Brooklyn picks and for things like that to work out. So it's not like losing benefits you the way it had in previous years. And so all of that came together. Ron expectations, my expectations, their own damn expectations. It's all like we're past the point of, hey, let's just lose and accumulate talent. You need to start seeing some results. To the question that you asked to start the segment, what else beyond Jalen Green? Yeah. I would point to the fact that the defense has picked up and started to look more similar to what it was looking like early in the year. I will point that out. Fred Van Bleet, I said this on the show yesterday, did my little apology to Fred Van Bleet, you know, suggesting that James Harden was probably a better player for this team to have. I was wrong about that. Fred Van Bleet has been excellent. And I think Jabari Smith, in the absence of Alperen Şengün playing in that five role, I know he missed the last game because of the suspension, but there had been a question on my part, at least, with Jabari in terms of how physical of a basketball player could he be with his body type right now. You know, he's still kind of coming into it.
Sure.
And there were times when they play bigger lineups where it'd be easy to see how he could get pushed around a little bit just because, not because he's not willing or because he doesn't have a heart, but just because he's so damn real thin, it's just not there. But it's coming together. He's been excellent, I think, in the five role. And just everything around Jalen Green, I think, has also been really good. And they've just been playing really good team ball. Credit to Ime Udoka.
You hit it right there a little bit, but more specifically to Jalen Green. I mean, any of us can look at the box scores and look at the schedule right now, and there's W's. I mean, hell, there's W's up and down this thing, especially of late with the – what is it, 9 or 10 they've won straight? And then it's easy to look at the box score and see what Jalen Green does every night and get excited about it. But what is it that you're seeing night in, night out from Jalen Green that's allowing him to be able to string these things together and play at such an improved level, almost with the flip of a switch, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, so my complaint about his game for a long time has been that the jump shot is inconsistent.
Yeah.
The jump shot has been much more consistent as of late.
Like, well, what is he taking better shots?
I think overall, and I've said this before, I didn't mind a lot of the shots that he was taking. I didn't mind a lot of the decisions that he was making throughout the year. Like, those had been more of issues in previous years with Jalen Green. This year, not as much with Ime Udoka and with the players that he's playing with, the Fred Van Vliet's and Dylan Brooks of the world. Like, I think that those things have progressed fairly consistently this year. It's just been flat out the jumper broken. Like, we talk about it, planning and all of that, but execution is what it is, right? Like, you have to actually go out there and make the throw, make the catch, make the jumper. And so that's been a lot of it with Jalen Green, is just simply – like, why can't that jump shot be more consistent? Why can't he finish around the basket more? He's doing a better job of that. So I think that's part of it. I would add that also when it's not falling, because it's still not as consistent as you would like for it to be. It wasn't that consistent in the previous game on Monday night. But when it's not, he's getting to the foul line, forcing the issue a little bit, being a little bit more physical and trying to get himself easier buckets, get himself into a rhythm. That was the biggest difference. Last year, Clint, Ron, he would go to the line, and that's why he averaged 20-plus, 22 or whatever it was. The guy was getting to the line eight times a game. Wasn't doing that earlier in the year on top of the fact that his jumper was broken. You got to be doing one or the other, knocking your shots down or getting to the line.
I think that's the big thing that I've noticed as well is that was my big complaint was like when Jalen isn't on or scoring, you look at everything, he's not doing anything else.
Yeah.
He's not. Now in this stretch, it's not just, he scored 42 or the points. It is he's got 10 rebounds with that 42, or he's got, 3 to 5 assists, or he is filling.
Or a couple of steals here and there.
He's filling up and doing other things. It's not just, because that's what it was is, all right, Jalen had a big night. He had 24, but if he didn't score, if he had, one of those inefficient nights and he's sitting there with 12, like it's zeros or ones across the board. And he wasn't doing – he's doing more things now. And I think the best thing about it is he has clearly responded to the pressure of Sengun is out, and I have to step up for the team.
Yeah.
And he has responded to that in a major way, which is a huge sign for if you are one that is a believer for him to be a guy in the future, that's a huge sign that he stepped up in this moment.
The rebounding seems to get him going and seems to get him in a rhythm too. It's almost similar to how the free throws do. But you think about on that stretch, I think it was the end of January, he was having a really good stretch there. And that had a lot to do with how he was rebounding the basketball. And so to your point, if he's not scoring or if the jump shot's not falling down, he's rebounding, he's defending, he's getting to the foul line. Like, you've got to find other ways to affect the game even when your jump shot is not there. And so Jalen Green's doing that on top of the fact, and I can't stress this enough, the jump shot's been there. Like, I know y'all have seen these clips on social media where he's doing – like, he went from broken jump shot to now this dude's got the audacity to be doing look-away three-pointers. Like, he's shooting the three now, and he's running back the other way – like Steph Curry
would
do.
That's a little aggressive, but yeah.
But he's knocking them down. Like, I don't know where it came from. And it would look stupid if he missed. We would clown him. But when you make it, it's like, well, hell, what can you say? Dude's been making his shots, man. I got to give him credit.
Brandon Scott here with us with our Rockets report. I know one thing, we talked about what we've seen. One thing Clint and I have seen is a noticeable change, and Clint brought this up to the point of at the break, Udoka called the team soft. That was the message going into the break. One thing we've noticed is they are establishing the identity of we ain't no punks.
Yeah.
Or as you would say, ain't no bitches around here.
Right.
That they're establishing that they finally had a game where there was not a fight, a near fight against the Trailblazers. They were back-to-back performances against the Bulls and the Jazz where they were – fisticuffs, and hell, one ended in a suspension for Jabari Smith. That part is very noticeable.
Yeah.
Like, they're not taking anything from anybody, and it's everybody.
It's to the point now where if you come against the Rockets, if you're playing against the Rockets talking about you want to fight, you better be ready to actually do it.
They're going to.
Because we know how it is in the NBA. It's really not – they're not going to really fight.
Draymond will.
But there are certain teams that will let you know, hey, look – what we're not going to do is play around. Like, we're not going to be punked. And I think that's been a consistent theme with the Rockets all year. Of like, even when they were being called soft. Maybe internally, and M.A. Udoka might be kind of a hard ass, the type that'll call you soft.
He did.
But look, the other teams, they know. They know the Rockets, at the very least, whether you beat them on the court or not, you are not going to punk them. And if you try, it's gonna be something to answer for.
Well, check this out. 100.
Yeah, we do. Check this out. It's Houston's plus 4.5. Totals 232.5. What are we betting on tonight?
Ooh,
what is wrong with you, man?
What are we betting on tonight, man?
This dude's a degenerate.
He's addicted.
This. What are y'all talking? I can't win a few bets and have a little money in the bank and want to throw a little money around.
Give me the lines again.
Scott, I mean, the Rockets are plus, they're getting 4.5, and the total is 226.5.
No, they didn't play last night, did they?
No.
By the way,
back to back.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet against. I wouldn't bet against OKC in this one. As much as I want the Rockets to win, because they're good.
Their best player's out.
All right, well, do it, Clint. I mean, look.
Does that move the needle for you?
Not really, man. Not really.
Well, Shea being out may move it a bit.
There you go. Talk to me, Ron.
I'm not talking to you.
No, you were. You just responded to me. How the hell were you not talking to me? No, I'm not a part of it.
This guy wanted to bet on women's basketball.
I got so many vices, as y'all know.
And guess who beat me?
I'm so glad this ain't one of them.
Caitlin.
Yeah. She didn't cover.
Yeah, they didn't come close. Yeah,
they did. 14.5. They won by 10.
Oh, they got it to 10.
Midway through the third, they were up 12.
Yeah, I thought I was sitting pretty. Like that, when you start betting on things that I know you don't know nothing about and that nobody can give you.
I'm asking you to.
I know, and I told you the women's basketball, I didn't have enough for you. Yeah. I didn't know anything about West Virginia.
I just wanted to have a reason to watch the O'Gale that night.
And see, I'm probably too drastic with the Rockets one way or the other. Either optimism or, man, they're terrible.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't touch this one.
I'm probably way too emotional to actually bet on the Rockets with a clear head.
I wouldn't touch it. This is a big one tonight, though. A big one for them.
Split NBA screens tonight for me. Paying attention to what the Warriors are doing in Orlando, what the Rockets are doing in Oklahoma City. It matters together.
All right, Brandon Scott, every single Wednesday, 4 o'clock, Rockets Report. Get ready for him tomorrow. He's on In the Loop as well, 11 o'clock, as he does each and every week. Coming up, a little 5 o'clock fire. God, Tyler.
You gonna be at Tom's?
He might. Let's get this tease off here. you're gonna love this as we find out some things about opening day tomorrow. I can't wait to get your thoughts on it. And big pro day happened today for one of the quarterbacks that may either be the best of the bunch or maybe the biggest bust of the bunch. We'll discuss all of that coming up next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.